In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almost 40 long years ago, in 1979, I was a fairly independently minded adolescent. I'd recently left high school and I'd started working as an apprentice carpenter at my father's company. In that same year, I had my first experience of God calling me. Also in that year, the great evangelist Billy Graham had made his second pilgrimage to Sydney, and before it was his last one. My church had organised a bus, and along with thousands of other Christians, my family and I tracked out to the city racecourse to hear the great Billy Graham preach and to sing of some of those most memorable hymns led by George Beverly Shea. If you have ever been to one of Billy Graham's crusades or another Christian revival event, you may have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit at work. I sat high up in the racecourse grandstand that afternoon, listening intently to Billy Graham's sermon. And then as he reached the crescendo, he started to invite people to come forward and to give themselves to God. He invited people to repent and to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. "Don't delay," he said. "Come now and take Jesus as your Lord and Saviour." The power of that call was palpable, and I distinctly remember not being able to stay in my seat. As I watched about me, a person here and there got up and went forward. And I also got up and walked down from my high seat in the grandstand and out onto the course proper. And I stand here today before you because I answered that call. And I've only experienced a similar situation of feeling the Holy Spirit calling me twice since. And strangely, both of those experiences have happened here in the United States. And they've both happened after periods where I felt I was out in the wilderness. Almost 2,000 years ago, in the second decade of modern time after the birth of Jesus, many, many people also appear to have been called by the Spirit of God to repentance and to new life. John the Baptist was mostly responsible for those early callings. And as a prophet, he lived out in the desert on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And as we know, he lived a very simple life. John was one of the long line of apocalyptic prophets that culminated in Jesus' prophetic ministry. He was a prophet that called people to see the way of the world was corrupt, and the new way of living was indeed possible. A way of living that would be a powerful antidote to the troubles of the world. He predicted that he wasn't the end of this line of prophets, but that one more powerful than he would come, one that would have a more powerful effect on the world. John was, by this gospel account, a very in-your-face type preacher. I don't think the crowd went out to see him was warmed up by the likes of George Beverly Shea. In fact, John challenged the crowd right from the get-go with quite violent language. "You brood of vipers," he calls to them. "Who warned you to flee the wrath that is to come?" And this sort of violent language cuts two ways. It can either make you sit up and take notice of what's being said, or you can turn away and dismiss the speaker as a crock or an arrogant person. Now, if I remember my encounter correctly with Billy Graham, I'm fairly certain he used very similar graphic language to stir up the feelings amongst the crowd that they would hear the call of God and they would go forward to repent. Certainly his language invoked a fear in me, a fear of hell, and the fear of being left behind on the day of judgment. I was young and impressionable. I wanted to repent of my sins, and I wanted to be saved, and so I went. Often powerful rhetoric stirs our inner being into action and gets us moving to make the commitment that God calls for us to make. We live in a time now where many people feel called by God, by a preacher's apocalyptic language. The most graphic example we have faced over the last few decades is the call by radical jihadists of the extreme Islamist movements, And people of all ages are being called by what they hear as prophetic voices, some to the same desert region where John's calling occurred. They are being called to change their lives and to give themselves to the greater good, to create a caliphate in the desert, and to be cleansed of to cleanse the world of the infidels as a precursor to God's coming again. It's a message many of us are concerned with because the message calls people to violent jihad and terrorism as their means of achieving their end goal. There does seem to be similarities, though, with other religious groups of past times that sought the end times rather than live in the present. And Jesus tells us that only God knows the end times and that we really have nothing to worry about. Christians of times past and present do not have clean hands here. There are radical so-called Christian groups in the world today, and many of them are in this country, that support violence as a way of bringing on the apocalyptic end of the world. Power and violence and the corruption of the world aren't new. But as each new expression comes upon us, such as the terrible violence and terror being inflicted on the world, and the scapegoating of genuine refugees fleeing this violence, we are forced to react out of fear. And this then is flamed by the rhetoric of some political people who want to divide us into the good and the bad, to name the scapegoat and to drive them out of our midst. But violence, whether it's violent language or actions, just begets violence. So what are we to do as people of faith? I think John gives us the answer right here in Luke's account of the good news. Excuse me, when he answers the crowd's similar question. Firstly, he says we should share our resources. If we have two coats, let us share one with someone who has none. If we have food to share, we should share it. Secondly, we should take only what is prescribed, or what is fair, or what is needed. Take no more and leave others. Leave some for the others, he says. And this is the foundation of justice. Finally, when the soldiers ask what they should do, John tells them to stop extorting money from others by using threats and false accusations. And we need too to think about how we use power in the world against others. We all use power, but John reminds us to be just in using it, to be satisfied with our positions and not to use threats and false accusations to get one over someone else. We experience God calling us in many different ways. And some have their hearts stirred by strong language of repentance and salvation. Some have their hearts stirred in the quietness of silent prayer and reflection. And some might experience the call of God in other ways, such as in witnessing the beauty of the world or in an encounter with one of God's people. It doesn't really matter how we experience the call of God to follow, to change our lives and to walk in Jesus' footsteps. It's how we live out that call that matters most. We can learn how to live out that call from Paul's message to the Philippians that we heard read as the epistle this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The seekers that went out into the desert to hear John and be baptized received his witness to the coming of Jesus Christ. And that same message is for us today. In these Advent times, we remember what it is like to live in the hope that God will come in human flesh and dwell among us once again. John proclaimed the message of fairness and justice and being satisfied with what we have. And then Jesus proclaimed the greater message of God's enduring love and forgiveness. As we journey further into this season, we might contemplate and pray for those that are lost and those that believe violence is the only way to resolve our issues. Let us hold the hope that we might make a difference in the world by living into the teaching of John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul, which is the message of today's Gospel and Epistle readings. Amen.